Tonight to Numbers chapter 3. Numbers chapter 3. I encourage you to read through your Bible from cover to cover, and a good plan would be at least once a year, although we don't read the Bible because we have a deadline. We read the Bible because we want to hear from God. Amen. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Say, Pastor, I do not see the value in it. Well, God does. Ask Him to show you. Amen? Back in the 1980s, I used to work for a company in Salt Lake City. And we used to go out and install hardware and software systems in credit unions. And little ones, big ones, medium-sized ones. We'd go out and we would literally, we'd run the wire and we'd connect the computer and we'd copy the old data and convert it into the new format, and we'd teach the people how to use it, and then we'd go back and what they call implementation, to where you actually start using the new system, and we'd fix things that weren't working right and retrain the people that didn't understand what they were doing. And when we left, they'd be on this new system and hopefully very happy. And if you were good at that, and we must have been, because the company became very successful. When you're good at that, people would use you again and again. But I can remember what's called an implementation plan, which is just a fancy phrase. Mike's back there grinning. He knows what I'm talking about. For how you're going to get it done. What do you got to buy? When are you going to do this? Who's going to have what job? What's the deadline? And if you read one of those things, if I was to give you a copy of one to read, you would be bored to death, unless you're the one doing the work. And then all of a sudden, that thing's really interesting. And we have an implementation plan here in Numbers chapter 3. Now, what I mean is, there was work to be done, and there's some obvious truths here. Number one, God had His way of getting it done. It was God's plan. This was not man's plan. God planned it. And He planned it in great detail. He allocated the resources. He assigned different people different tasks. He told them even where they were going to camp. And if you read this plan, you might read Numbers chapter 3 and say, Pastor, that's not the most exciting chapter in the Bible. I might agree with you in terms of being exciting, but there is something to learn here. We're not going to read the whole chapter. It would be a little bit repetitive. I'm going to read bits and pieces of it. But let me just tell you this. Maybe I could get you to agree with me. Would you agree there is a work God wants us to do?
Amen.
Amen? There are... You see them when you drive down the road. There are souls near our church and then farther away as well that need to hear the gospel and receive Christ. If they don't, they're going to die and go to hell. And I would, if I could, I would stand a couple of our little bus children up here in front of you and just ask you the question, do you want this child to go to heaven or to go to hell? And there's a couple of them. I was telling Brother Mendez when he came in. I hadn't seen Brother Mendez for, I think it was 2 or 3 years. I forgot now. But anyway, it was a long time. I'm kidding. And he came in the building yesterday morning, and I wanted to hug him. But he's not nearly so huggable, maybe. Those little bus children are just little innocent children. Not so innocent, but they're children that need Christ. Amen? And some of them, they're just so cute. I have something etched in my mind. It was something that happened the first year we did Vacation Bible School. It was, well, I think the first or second night. We were out here in the courtyard registering children. We were just getting started. It was not dark yet. It was still light out. And this little boy came in with his mom, and he was worried that he had missed out on Vacation Bible School. And he was worried enough that he was kind of desperate to find out. And he walked up to me, and in this most sweet little innocent voice, he looked at me and he said, is this the place where we get to dress up like a cowboy? said, you came to the right place. You got to love people like that, right? Well, those are lovable people. Some people aren't so lovable, but Christ died for all of them. And you may think, Pastor, I just can't witness to some people. They're smarter than me, or they're scarier or whatever. Reach a child, amen? God's got a plan for our church, and it's not just children, but children are part of it. And folks, God doesn't just have a job for our church to do. He knows how He wants it done. And He will give you and I as individuals responsibilities. That's what happens here in this chapter. We're going to read around a little bit. I'm going to show you some things. There's too much here to read all at once, but we'll probably read a little less than half the chapter. And let's stand for the reading of God's Word in Numbers chapter 3, and then we'll take a look at some application of this chapter. Now bear with me as I read, please. Numbers chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, "These also are the generations of Aaron and Moses in the day that the Lord spake with Moses in Mount Sinai. These are the names of the sons of Aaron: Nadab the firstborn, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar." These are the names of the sons of Aaron, the priests which were anointed, whom he consecrated to minister in the priest's office. And Nadab and Abihu died before the Lord when they offered strange fire before the Lord, in the wilderness of Sinai, and they had no children. And Eleazar and Ithamar ministered in the priest's office in the sight of Aaron, their father. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Bring the tribe of Levi near and present them before Aaron the priest, that they may minister unto him. And they shall keep his charge and the charge of the whole congregation before the tabernacle of the congregation, to do the service of the tabernacle. And they shall keep all the instruments of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the charge of the children of Israel to do the service of the tabernacle. And thou shalt give the Levites unto Aaron and to his sons. They are wholly given unto him out of the children of Israel. And thou shalt appoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall wait on their priest's office. And the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death." Now let's skip down to verse 14. "The Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, saying, The number of the children of Levi after the house of their fathers," number them, "by their families, every male from the month old and upward shalt thou number them. And Moses numbered them according to the word of the Lord as he was commanded. And these were the sons of Levi by their names, Gershon and Kohath and Merari. These are the names of the sons of Gershon." And he goes the same thing for Kohath in verse 19, the same for Merari in verse 20. Look at verse 21. "Of Gershon was the family of the Libnites and the family of the Shimites. They are the families of the Gershonites, those that were numbered of them, according to the number of all the males from a month old and upward, even those that were numbered of them were 7,500. The families of the Gershonites shall pitch behind the tabernacle westward. And the chief of the house of the father of the Gershonites shall be Eliasaph, the son of Lael. And the charge of the sons of Gershon in the tabernacle of the congregation shall be the tabernacle and the tent, the covering thereof, and the hanging for the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the hangings of the court, and the curtain for the door of the court, which is by the tabernacle and by the altar round about, and the cords of it, for all the service thereof." Now, we're not going to read all this, but in verses 27 through 31, you see the family of Kohath, their number, and their charge. In verse 31, he says, "Their charge shall be the ark, and the table, and the candlestick, and the altars, and the vessels of the sanctuary wherewith they minister, and the hanging, and all the service thereof." And then from verses 33 to 37, we see the family of Merari and his responsibilities. And then we see the responsibilities of Aaron and Moses and where they're going to camp, beginning in verse 38. And then let's just read a little bit more in verse 40. "The Lord said unto Moses, Number all the firstborn of the males of the children of Israel from a month old and upward, and take the number of their names, and thou shalt take the Levites for me. I am the Lord, instead of all the firstborn. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you tonight for the word of God. Lord, we need your help to understand it. We certainly want to apply it properly. I pray that you'd be a blessing to each one here tonight. As we study the book of Numbers, Lord, give us a zeal to know more about you and about your word. And I pray that you'd bless us tonight in this service and the meeting to follow. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. You can be seated. I would encourage you, when you read the Bible, to outline some things like this if you don't understand. And what you can do is break it down into pieces. And any job that you're going to do, if it's a big job, make it smaller jobs out of it and do one at a time. You get the whole thing done. So if you take Numbers chapter 3 as a whole, there are 51 verses there. And I'm not nearly going to preach all of them tonight, but I want to show you some things that we can see in the chapter. Now, once again, the Lord is organizing the workforce. You remember, if you've read the book of Exodus, that all these pieces of the tabernacle were designed by God. They were built at God's instruction. It was being done according to God's plan. Everything, the building of the ark, the things that they would do. For example, the Day of Atonement once a year, when they would offer the lamb and sprinkle the blood on the top of the mercy seat. And if you've ever, it's an interesting study. We'll do it in Sunday school sometime, perhaps, to see how the ark was built and how the tent was all put together. And they had walls for the court and so on. But the tabernacle and the ark and the things associated with it were meant to be portable, because these people were moving around. And so God didn't just design a place for them to worship. He didn't just design a place where his presence would appear, but he designed something that could be taken down and carried to the next camp. Now, even today, it's just a fact, we are in a temporary situation. Praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Leo is glad his foot is a temporary foot. And in eternity, God's going to take care of that. Everything you have, your house, your investments, your clothes, your car, whatever you've got, you know it's temporary. Some things don't even come close to lasting a lifetime. But even those few things you have that may last you for the rest of your life, it's all temporary. Because one day we're going to step into eternity. That's home. Amen. Meanwhile, we're just on a journey, and I'm not sure I like that word because some people misuse it, but let's put it this way. We're walking with God through life, doing his work, and we are in a temporary setting. They had a temporary situation, but they had a task to perform. Now, being dealt with in this chapter is the service of the tabernacle. When you see the word tabernacle, if it helps you, you can think of a temporary dwelling like a tent. And it was, the tabernacle was the things that were described in Exodus, the ark and the Holy of Holies and all of that. And again, I can't go through that tonight. But when it came time to move it, when it came time to set it up, when it came time to use it, God had a plan. And you'll see here, for example, we saw the family of Gershon. There were 7,500 of them. He told them to pitch to the westward, which was behind. In God's view, the east was the front. And there is some symbolism there, I believe. You may know that in days gone by, folks were often buried facing east. The sun comes up in the east. We know the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back. Anyway, there's a symbolism there. They were given a chief. His name was Eliasaph. They were given a charge. The word charge means a responsibility. Amen. Let's just start applying this a little bit. God gave everybody something to do. And they knew what it was. It came from God. God was the one that said, you're going to do this. And everybody had a job. You may not agree with me. I hope you do. everybody in the church ought to have a job. Amen? It's not all the same job. There are some things we all should do. But when it comes to the church, different people have different jobs. In this situation, different people had different jobs. They all had a charge. The Gershonites took care of the tabernacle, the tent, the covering, the hangings, the curtain for the door, and the courts. The Kohathites took care of the ark, the tables, the candlestick, the altars, the vessels, and the hanging. The family of Merari took care of the boards, the bars, the pillars, the sockets, and the pens. Now, there were 7,500 Gershonites, 8,800 of the Kohath, 6,200 of Merari. Total was about 22,000. And these 22,000 people were all given a job. If I had been there, I would have probably been like you, and I would have thought to myself, wouldn't it be great to carry the ark? Of all the jobs you might have, wouldn't you like to be associated with something as wonderful as the ark? It had a special way of carrying it. God designed it so they could put staves, which are long wooden poles, through some some sockets, holes, and there were rings of metals, what they were, and they would carry the ark, and it had a covering for it as well. And wouldn't you like to be the one that carries the ark? But God says, you know what? Your job is to carry a board. You get to carry a board. I wanted to carry the ark. Your job's to carry a board. Folks, if God gave you a job, it's an important job. Amen? Amen? Amen. Somebody says, I want to be up front. I want to be important. I want to do the greatest job. Folks, with God, they're all great jobs. I don't know I do some, but I don't know, for example... Let me see here. Nope. Well, maybe it is gone. There used to be a stain over here. I don't know if somebody cleaned it or not, but I'm glad they did. Cleaned it, didn't you? Amen? Yeah. Say, well, Pastor, it's just a stain. That's not important. I want to teach Sunday school. Great, but I'm glad somebody cleaned that stain. Amen? Amen. It's God's house. Right. Do you remember when they built the temple? And they had the pillars in the temple, and those pillars were... 30-something feet high. And the top of those pillars, there was very fine work engraving on that stone up there. Now, if you're like me at the age of 60, 30 feet, I ain't seeing no fine work anywhere. That fine work on those pillars wasn't for the people to observe from 30 feet away. It was for God. Amen. What you do for God. God says, you carry a board. Praise the Lord, let me carry the board. But that doesn't sound very important, Pastor. Take it up with God. He gave me the job. Say, well, Pastor, I want a more important job. Take it up with God. He's the one. Now, follow me. There is an order of authority here. And in a local church, there are people in authority that assign people jobs and so on. And again, if you don't appreciate or approve of the authority in the church, take it up with God. But in this case, God himself said, you folks carry the boards. You folks carry the ark. You folks carry the tabernacle. You folks carry the candlestick. And he gave all those people jobs. I got a question for you. Let me ask it properly. Do you know the job God has given you? Amen? Amen. If you don't have a job... It's not because God doesn't want you to be involved. You can read this chapter as many times as you want. You will not see the section on vacation. That's not nothing wrong with vacation, but it's not in here. You will not see the section on disability. Nothing wrong with disability. I know some people are. That's not in here. More importantly, you will not see the section on calling in sick. I know you get sick. You will not see the section on those people that didn't want to work. Now that one's important. Somebody says, I don't want a job. Take it up with God. Amen? Amen? Is it not a blessing to serve God? Amen. Isn't it great how good God is to us? I'm astounded sometimes. I start to look at the things that I have been concerned with or considering or whatever, and God took care of that one. 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 Wow. I hope I'm a fraction as faithful to him as he is to me. Well, Pastor, I can see it now. One of the Gershonites comes to Moses and he says, you know, I really appreciate the fact that God wants me to serve the tabernacle and the tent and the covering and the hanging and so on. But Moses, I'm really busy. I've got a lot of things going on at home right now, and money's short. The kids have been sick. I just got all these problems. Moses, I just can't serve God right now. Yeah. I think we need to serve God. Amen? I'm just going to tell you what I believe, what I've lived, okay? And that is, if you will do what God tells you to do, God will take care of you and make it possible. And let me break that down a little bit. When God says, let's use money. When God says tithe, okay, God says we ought to tithe. We agree, right? The Bible says that the tenth is the Lord's. And the tithe is the Lord's. So somebody pays me $100, $10 of that belongs to God. And I say, man, I've got bills. If I give God $10, I can't pay some of those bills. If I give God $10, I can't buy something that I think I may legitimately need. I'm telling you, give God the $10, which isn't much, by the way. God's got more than God doesn't need our money. But God can make your $90 go farther than $100 would have gone. Amen. Amen. A few years ago, we were talking to somebody and they didn't tithe, and I just happened to know that forgot how I found out, but anyway, they didn't tithe. And they had all these unusual expenses. Things kept going wrong, fines and things like that. And I thought, yeah, I know what's going on. Yeah. Folks, God will take care of you. Right. Amen? Amen? Make a decision. Brother Hickson preached this. He preaches this a lot. He likes this topic. I do too. Just decide to do what God said to do. You haven't got to decide to go to church every week. Just decide to go to church. Amen? Decide to be faithful. Decide to tithe. We decided to tithe a long time ago. Decide to give to missions. Decide to do whatever God said to do. See, we've got jobs just like these people did, and God's made them very clear in the Word of God. Just decide, I'm going to do that. And then the devil is going to come to you, and the devil's going to say, you can't do that. You don't have the money. You don't have the time. Your situation is not right for that. You can't obey God. And then the devil, the liar that he is going to say, don't worry, God will understand if you disobey him. I don't see that in here anywhere. In fact, here's the phrase, if you want to pick a phrase to read in here, look at verse 41. He says, thou shalt take the Levites for me, I am the Lord, instead of all the firstborn. Now, I skipped some parts of the passage here, we could read them, but you remember back in Exodus when God judged Egypt by taking and killing all their firstborn, he told Moses, he says, you need to understand something. And this is a beautiful picture, by the way. He says, those Israelites that were spared, those firstborn that were spared, you put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel, and the death angel passed over that house. That's why they call it the Passover. We looked at this in Exodus a few months back. And those Israelites that didn't die, they belong to me. Amen. The firstborn belong to me. Now, here's the thought. You and I were spared that very same way, weren't we? God sees, will always see, the blood of Christ. And as far as judgment and death and payment for sin, he passes over us. He judged his son on the cross instead. He sees the blood of Christ, and therefore he doesn't require our payment for our sins. And now we belong to him. The Bible says you are bought with a price. You belong to God. That's what he says right here, the Levites. The Levites belong to me. Now, it's so funny the way that the Bible does this. He says, take the Levites for me. And then there's a parenthesis there. Do you see that parenthesis? Somebody says, what? Well, that doesn't seem right. I didn't want to be given to somebody. I want to be my own person. I want to rule my own life. I want to make my own decisions. I don't want somebody else to own me. And so there's this parenthesis, and he says, I am the Lord. Amen? Amen. He is the Lord. You know, he could have saved us from hell and made us slaves for all eternity to serve him in heaven, and that would have been wonderful. But instead, he made us co-inheritors with Christ. You are God's children if you're saved. He didn't have to do that. You see how much God loves you? You know how you like to do things for your children, or for those of you here that haven't got children yet? Oh, I can't wait till Christmas comes. Isn't that great, that first Christmas with a little baby? The little baby is clueless, and you give them a bunch of stuff anyway. And then a couple of years later, when they're two or three, oh, wow. Can you have a good time with that? Open this one, open this one, open this one. And don't you love to give your children gifts? Don't you love to give? God loves to give to us. He didn't have to do that. But he also has a job for us to do. Oh, I like it when God gives me things. I like it when God meets my needs. When I step into eternity and I look back over my life and I see all those things God did for me, I'm sure glad God did a bunch of things for me. Oh, no, I don't want to do anything for him. That doesn't make any sense. Amen? He is the Lord. He says, the Levites are mine. That settles it. He says, you and I are bought with a price. Don't think that's a bad thing. It's good to belong to God. There's so much application here, and I have very little time left. Let me just show you a few things. Everybody was expected to work. Everybody had a job, a place to be. There was no provision for someone that didn't want to work, that had an excuse or whatever. That doesn't mean that God made the sick go to work or whatever, but everybody was expected to work. Nobody was expected to do everything. Everybody had a job, not all the jobs. My prayer would be that God would call some people out of our church into full-time ministry. It's not that we don't have some already, but my prayer would be he would call some more. And let me just mention what that means. When you are in full-time ministry, what you're saying is, when no one else will do it, I'll do it. When no one else will be there, I'll be there. You say, well, Pastor, that's a bad thing. No, that's commitment. Yeah. Amen? But you know what's a blessing when someone else says, I'll do it. When someone else says, I'll be there. Amen? Yeah. And be there for what? Be there to serve the Lord, to do those things he wants us to do. Everybody had a job, but nobody had every job. The work was divided, and I cannot prove this completely, I can't prove it, but you can fairly well see that it was a fair workload. There was a group of people, and there were a group of tasks, and there were a group of people, and there were a group of tasks. And listen, folks, if all of us know the job God has given us, or jobs, I should say, and we do them, it's a smooth situation. We're about to have vacation Bible school. I have not sat down and calculated the head count of how many people that we need because I believe God's going to provide them. I found out that sometimes people will tell you, it happens every year, people will tell you, Pastor, I'll be there. And it's a really important job. And then the week of VBS comes and they say, Pastor, I won't be there. Oh, okay, well, and then God provides somebody else. Okay, but it's best if we say, Pastor, I'll be there, and then we show up. Amen? Be dependable. Don't be the unfaithful tooth. And that's in Proverbs. We can look at that another day. Now, here's an interesting thought. God was very particular about how things were done and who did them. And you see at least three occasions in this chapter where when people didn't do it God's way, they suffered the consequences. The first of those, if you'll look with me, is in verse 4. Nadab and Abihu died before the Lord when they offered strange fire. Now, we couldn't go back and look at that story right now. I may have the reference written down here, but I don't recall. Yes, it's in Leviticus 10, verses 1 and 2, if you want to read that later. Nadab and Abihu were meant to be the priests, and they got, I'll just be kind to them, they got carried away, and instead of using the fire that came from God, they decided to provide their own fire. That's a whole message there. Brother Hickson, jump on that one someday. And they got killed like that. God said, I'm not going to have that. You're going to do it my way with my provision. And there's some great symbolism there as well. And then look in verse 10. He says, you're going to appoint, thou shalt appoint Aaron and his sons, and they're going to wait on the priest's office. The stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. Someone says, I want to be a priest too. I don't recommend that. God's going to take your life, he says right here, if you try to step into the role he didn't give you. Again, in verse 38, at the end of the verse, the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. I'll just make this plain in one sense, and that is, folks, God gave you and I, as the local church, the responsibility of taking the gospel to the world. Amen. You do believe that, don't you? Amen. He did not give that responsibility to the parachurch organization. He didn't give it to the universal church. He didn't give it to the cults. He didn't give it to the lost. He didn't give it to the mission board. He didn't give it to the Bible college. He didn't give it to anybody else. He gave it to us. We need to do it. Someone else, someone says, I don't want to be part of a church. I don't like that church thing. I don't understand that. If Christ loved the church and died for it, we should love it too. Amen? But anyway, they say, I don't want to be part of a church, but I want to do God's work. That's not what God intended. He gave us that responsibility. Amen? Amen. Be glad you're those folks that God chose to use. And by the way, anybody can be part of a church if they want to, if they'll do it the right way. So God was very particular about how things were done, about who did things and who didn't do them. And the jobs were not necessarily exciting or easy, but they were important. I've mentioned that already. Some of the jobs, you get to carry the boards. Brother, what do you do for the Lord? I carry a board. That's it. That's what God said to do. That's good, amen? Amen. God says carry a board. That sounds. I'll tell you the good thing about that. To whom much is given, much shall be required. If God just says carry a board, I can do that. I may not know how to do everything, but I can carry a board. And if God says carry it, he must want it carried. And so that means if I do it, I'm going to get a reward for it. And not that he needs to reward me for serving him, but I'm obedient. Whatever God asks you to do, just do it. Oh, and by the way, as long as I'm at it, if you don't have a job, first of all, pray about it. And second of all, ask. And then if nothing else, just meet a need. You know, there are needs that should be met. We need folks. I hate to say it that way because it's a command, but we need folks to go on visitation. This Tuesday, for example, I'm thinking of 1, 2, 3 visits just like that that need to be made. And there's only one of me. There's only one of Brother Mendez. I know he'll be here. A couple more of you that are pretty faithful. I know you'll probably be here. But what if 10 people came out? You want to give your pastor a little heart attack? Show up for visitation on Tuesday night. Amen? It's just practical joke. My wife will organize it. She loves to organize this kind of stuff. Practical joke. Have 25 people show up for visitation. The pastor will have a heart attack. What? What are you going to do with us, pastor? We're here to tell folks about the Lord. I'll tell you, I'll just figure something out. Amen? Amen. Brother Mendez, handle it. I'm going on visitation or something. I don't know. It's a shame if we only have a couple of folks out. Say, pastor, I came out one time and it wasn't exciting. I know carrying boards is not always exciting, but that's what God said to do. Sometimes it is exciting, by the way. Specific people were responsible for specific things to do. If God gave you a job, keep doing it. Amen? Amen. They get to the new location. The tabernacle's there. The furniture's there. The curtain's there. The ark's there. The candlestick is there. Where are the boards? Well, the guy that carries the boards didn't show up today. That's when you find out how important carrying boards are, isn't it? Your job that you don't think matters a whole lot is important. Keep doing it. I wish I had a nickel. I don't want to be negative. I wish I had a nickel for every time somebody told me they would be there to do something and I counted on them and then they didn't show up. That's sad. It's not me you're disappointing, it's God. Why are we doing this? Why do we, on the hottest days of the year, when it is 115, in the hottest hours of the day, 5 o'clock, the last week of June last year, I checked it out, it's one of the hottest weeks of the summer, the hottest hour of the day, get in an unair-conditioned bus and drive to a beat-up trailer park and try to pick up children? Is that, do we do this because we like doing these kind of things? Because this is the excitement in our life? It is, but what I'm trying to say is, if you just gave the average person a choice of what to do at 5 p.m. on a late day in June, they wouldn't choose to ride a hot bus around town. Why are we doing this? For the Lord, amen? Amen. And the humorous thing is, it can be done. Last year, I don't know, we went through, I'd like to think probably, 400 bottles of water. Probably 150 pounds of ice, and half that ice went down the back to keep you cool, you know, when you're walking around, but you can do it. And so somebody says, well, the pastor wanted me to ride that hot bus. No, I really don't. God does. It's not my agenda is what I'm trying to say in a real weak way. It's God's the one that came up with the job, and if you get a job, stick with it. When you don't show up for your job, somebody has to do double duty, or the job doesn't get done properly, or the job doesn't get done at all. But either way you go, the ministry suffers. If you have a job, show up. Ah, I got a job for all of you. Don't throw anything at me. You need to be in church. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We need to be in church. It's not that we shouldn't think of that lightly. Now, the Levites serve because they belong to God. And then, I'll just look at one more thing real quick. Look at the verse 44. Let's read a few more verses, and I'll show you one thing, and we'll be done. It says, and by the way, in each of these sections, you see the Lord speaking unto Moses. In verse 44, the Lord spake unto Moses, take the Levites instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites instead of their cattle, and the Levites shall be mine. I am the Lord. And for those that are to be redeemed of the 200, and it winds up being 273,000 firstborn of the children of Israel, which are more than the Levites, take 5 shekels apiece by the pole after the shekel of the sanctuary, a shekel is 20 gerahs, and thou shalt give the money wherewith the odd number of them is to be redeemed unto Aaron and to his sons. And so there was a collection to be taken up. And for any one individual, it wasn't a whole lot, but when everybody gave their part and that money was given to the Levites, they had the resources to do the job. So even there, with the finances, God spread it out. I think you can see God had a plan. I know it's a good plan because it was God's plan. Amen? Amen. And folks, God has a plan for us as a local church. Be part of it. I've got a spreadsheet in my office. I built it a long time ago. It breaks up all the different jobs in the local church by categories. And it actually talks about things like evangelism and edification and worship and the different things that we do as a church. And then it subdivides those into smaller categories. For example, we have a song leader. We have a piano player. We have ushers. We have people in the sound booth. We have people that clean the auditorium and so on and get it ready for services. And all those jobs, and God provides workers for each of them. We don't live in the Old Testament. I cannot come to you and say, do this or else. You are what the world calls volunteers. You do it because you want to. But you're not volunteering for us. You're volunteering for the Lord. Amen? Find the job God has for you. Do it faithfully. Ask the Lord to give you the job that He wants you to have, and then be that servant God wants you to be so that God's plan can come together. Amen? Let's all stand and pray.